So hello, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to our post-shine call, and we've invited you to this call to reconnect so that we can give, you know, you virtual hugs at this time instead of real hugs. Sorry, I can't feed you. I would have liked to feed you what I just had for a little dinner thing, which was my protein powdered chocolate ice cream, but sorry about that. Next time, once they perfect the ability to not just see and hear over this kind of a medium, once we perfect the smell and the taste, and you got to believe it's coming, right? If we can send people to the moon, we can fly, you know, around the world. We can figure out how to let people taste and smell things across airwaves, right? Because we can see each other and hear each other. And 20 years ago, when I was in college, after I graduated college, but when I was in college, if somebody told me that the future a couple of decades from now held that we could actually do our classes online and see the professor and see the slides and have recordings of that, I would have said, oh yeah, right. Because remember back in the day when the idea of a phone, talking on the phone and actually seeing somebody was like, Janet, I mean, you know, you're in that same generation as I, right? We would have thought, what are they, nuts? That's like 1984. That's insanity. And look where we are now. So I'm convinced that in the future, when I do my online classes and when you do your online classes to your community, you're going to be able to pass a little taste through. And guess what? It'll be a non-caloric taste too. So that'll be even better, right? We'll get to taste it and it won't, you know, it won't really add to our waistlines. So I'm excited to be back here. I had such a great time connecting with all of you at Shine. Like I said, you know, it's so much work to do an event. And right before every event, this goes without fail, I go, this is the last one. This is just too much work. This is the last one. And then in the minute I get up there and I see everybody, I'm like, nah, let's do one in a month. Let's do another one soon, because it's so rewarding to just see all of you and your shining faces, but also to know that we're on the same mission. We are committed and connected in a way that we want to end needless suffering, and we want to help people in ways that our medical system is failing people right now. And we're all on our way in whatever way you're doing it right now, whether it be to influence a family member, or whether it be, you know, standing on stages influencing huge rooms, or whether it be, you know, through your coaching programs or one-to-one services. This is how we make a difference, one person at a time, one mind at a time, and one heart at a time. And we always have to remember that the heart connection is super, super important. So tonight's call, I'm going to take you through some slides. You're going to recognize a lot of the slides. I'm going to do a little review of some of the things that we shared at Shine and give you some action steps, some things that I took away that I said, that was a biggie. That's a piece that if we took away one action step from each day, wouldn't that be awesome? If we took one action step away from each presentation, that would be even awesomer. Right? So whatever you can take away and put into action for yourself, for a family member, or for your entire community, or something you can incorporate in your practice. Does that all sound good? Does everybody want action steps that you can use? Yes? Okay. So that's the purpose, and to review and to really get it fresh in your mind. And then we'll have an open Q&A, because here's what happens also to me when I take a seminar is I go back and I'm reading my notes and I'm like, what did I mean by that? Has that ever happened to anybody? You're reading your notes and go, what did that mean? And wouldn't it be nice to be able to go back to whoever taught it and say, here's the question. Now, if you have questions about something like, say, Mike Mutzel or Tom O'Brien or any of those folks asked, no worries. I'll make a note of them and we'll go ahead and we'll reach out to them. If it's not something I already know the answer to, we'll reach out to them. Okay? Sound good? Sound fair? Everybody ready? Okay, let's get some excitement going. One, two, three. Yay! We are changing lives. Yay! Awesome. So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen, and you'll let me know as soon as it's actually shared. So let me go and say share. And I've got this screen, and you should be able to see it. And I'm going to get, there we go. Can you see my screen? Familiar picture. You saw that all weekend. All right. So Shine, we've been doing this conference. This was our seventh. I thought it was an amazing conference. I loved the connections that we all made, and I love the learning that we took away. I also love that we got to build our community a little bit more. You know, we got to add some new names and faces to our people that are joining us on our journey, our certification journey with nutritional endocrinology practitioner training. So that's it. That's what we did. But, you know, we reinforced throughout, and this is really important. And I love this kind of set of graphics that I put together because it so encompasses what the broken system does, right? We take a person, they come in and they complain about their signs and symptoms, and we stick them in a box. And then we stick a diagnosis. And when I say we, I don't mean the we us here. I mean the healthcare system we. We are trying to get away from this. We stick them in the box and we label it with a diagnosis. Hashimoto's, ulcerative colitis, gastritis, encephalopathy, whatever that might be. Usually they're itises. And then we say, okay, based on that diagnosis, here's the treatment. Not based on that person and who they are and what they're experiencing, but based on the diagnosis. And like we said, that's just like shutting them up. Like, hey, you have a headache here, shut up. Hey, you have a stomach ache here, shut up. Right? It's shutting up the symptom, which is the body's wisdom in saying something's wrong. Please investigate. Please get me out of this mess. Because when we pull the battery out, we end up in the flames. Or we could, not always, right? Because, you know, it may be a false alarm, but you have to check it out. And that's where my sister, my brother-in-law, I watched them die in this situation. I'm sure many of you have had relatives who've landed that way or friends, you know, and we don't want this because it's no fun. Because they're at the point where medicine goes, I don't know what to do for you. Let's just keep you alive. And one of my colleagues said, once he said, I got out of neurology, I got out of being a neurosurgeon, he said, because I felt like all I was doing was postponing death. And I loved that phrase, postponing death. We don't want to postpone death for people. We want to enhance life. We want to elongate and enhance the life they have. And I do remember my mom saying to me, not that long before she died, when I was, you know, doing the typical thing that daughters do to moms or, you know, parents do to children or siblings, when you awaken to the fact that you don't have to live this way and you start to preach at them, who's done the preaching thing? Who's done it? Come on, admit it. Who's preached, right? And my mother would say, look, mom, if you just do this or change that or whatever, you know, she goes, I don't want to live a long life. She says, but if I live a long life, I'm just going to be miserable. I'm going to be sick. It's not going to be fun. And I tried to tell her that it wasn't just elongating her life. It was enhancing the quality of her life. She didn't want that. And then that dreadful day on my 35th birthday, she decided it was over. She didn't want to be here anymore. And she died. I kind of think maybe she was on the verge of lung cancer, or maybe she was on the verge of some prolonged illness that her spirit just decided to check out of. We'll never know. That's the thing. We'll never know. So we want to enhance, get out of that. We want to make this mission, our joined mission. And sometimes we think it's an impossible mission. It's impossible to change the paradigm of this huge system and conglomerate. But I'm here to tell you that it's not impossible. Let's get rid of the M and let's create a new paradigm of healthcare. And when we all are working together and the powers that be, whoever's in charge of the system right now, probably the FDA and the Merck and, you know, other kinds of big conglomerates were paying off, then we can change it because we can get people demanding it from the bottom up. And so it's possible and it's probable. And I will tell you, in the 30 odd years that I've been doing this, it's changed dramatically. Right? We just know by the number of summits that are online, the number of different people online. When I first started doing courses online back in like 2006 or 7, nobody was doing health courses online. You know, it was a rare thing. And then it started growing and growing and growing. So it's really good that that's happening. But like I said at Shine, you know, I wish we had the little jump drive I can stick in the side of my head and I can hand it to you. How much would people be willing to pay for that? I could probably just do that, you know, and then go off to Hawaii and live happily ever after. Unfortunately, that's not the case. So even in the 3 days we had at Shine, I couldn't share everything I know. And we, you know, many of you decided to join us and go on to continuing education. But what we talked a whole lot about is those poor folks who are not drastically ill right now, who are not suffering from diseases that are diagnosable right now. They have those tip of the iceberg symptoms, kind of like my mom, tired in the afternoons, little skin cancer removed over here, some gallbladder issues, right? But they're the tip of the iceberg for the serious stuff. And that's where we come in, that we recognize that the tip of the iceberg symptoms are tip of the iceberg symptoms. And we help people to get rid of them before they dissolve, before they deteriorate, before they suddenly die like my parents did, or suffer for 3 months and die like my sister. So we work on the thing called the health continuum, not the sick or well, sick or well, sick or well, a dichotomy that medicine works on. But we look at it as, you know, we're disease, symptom-free, but in between symptom-free, even though somebody's symptom-free, they can be in imbalance. That's what we're educating and teaching ourselves through our continuing education to be able to identify. And then, right, they can go from symptom free, but that's not the pinnacle, right? Just because your symptoms are gone doesn't mean that you can be healthy, right? So we move to balanced. We help people to balance their thyroid, balance their adrenals, balance their digestion. And then the ultimate, which a lot of people aren't going to reach, to be perfectly honest, is that feeling of unstoppable, that feeling of feeling so good that nothing brings you down. And Thomas Edison said it so well many centuries ago. How many centuries ago? I don't even remember. Was the doctor of the future. We can change that to the practitioner of the future. We'll give no medicine, but we'll interest his patients in the care of the human frame, diet, and the cause of the and prevention of disease. This was not said 20 years ago. This was not said a decade ago or even a century ago, right? This is wisdom that has been passed down. And we're only now starting as a society to see that maybe this is true. But we have big businesses that are not going to benefit when that happens, right? And they need to learn to retool. And in the meantime, they're fighting it. They're fighting it. So we talked about the 5-step process for getting consistent results. Does anybody remember what the 5 steps are? Who remembers? Raise your hand and I'll call on you. Come on. I can't see everybody because just open your line and shout them out. 5 steps. We talked about it every day.
Assess.
Okay. Who is that?
Chandra.
Hi, Chandra. What are they? What's the 5 steps?
The first one is assess.
Assess. Yes. Second one? If nobody else is going to shout him out, we'll let Chandra go for it. What's the next one?
Rebalance.
Okay, that's the 5th, right? Because we want to do some things first, so that's great. What's the next one?
Remove the obstacles.
That's one of them, absolutely. But what do we want to do after we've assessed? Before we
retest.
Make a plan.
Connect.
Connect. Who said that? Yay. Right? Because if you don't connect, no matter how good your plan is, you're not going to be able to encourage this person to actually do it because it's not easy, right? So assess, connect, and 90% of the therapeutic value of our interactions with people can be coming from connection. This is something that was, I don't remember exactly where I got this from, but it was from a journal article. You know what? The value of connecting with our clients and patients. So, okay, what's after connect? So assess, connect.
Is there a retest there?
Retest is there, but not quite yet. What do we have to do to get them to do before we get them to retest?
Plan.
Thank you. Was that
I was going to say implement.
Yeah, implement a plan. Like, what are all the pieces that are important for that person? A unique, customized plan that may include exercise and diet and some supplementation maybe and sleep and stress management and all that kind of stuff. Awesome. What do we do after we've assessed and connected and then made a plan?
Remove the obstacles.
Remove the obstacles, because we're going to say we have this plan and there's all these obstacles in the way, right? They've got this stress and they're eating this food and they have food allergies, and the obstacles are usually in one of the areas, right? The freedom, what I call the freedom pillars. They're not having enough fun. Who feels like that's an obstacle for them, that you're just not making time for fun every day, right? This is critical. This is not just like frou-frou. This is critical. And when you can work with people and give them the idea of fun, last year we took our energy recharge inner circle, we'll do it again, is we took them through these pillars and we gave them reinforcements and we had calls and we had them posting to their Facebook group. What did you do for fun today? And when you can connect with your clients that way and get them talking about, Donna was doing Legos and someone else was knitting and somebody else was painting, right? This is what we can get them focused on. Because when you just focus on, I've got to go gluten-free today. Whoops, I blew it. I've got to exercise for a half an hour today. Whoops, I blew it. Oh, well, let me go have fun. What can I do for fun? Right? And we actually have in our program, in our NEPT program, it's part of the body balance piece, and in our ERC program, which is our client program, we have this whole section on, okay, how do you identify what's fun for you? And we have to help them to guide. And it's probably one of the hardest assessments we have in the whole program, because people are so not in that, right? We get into work and taking care of family, but it's so important. So fun, rest, exercise, environment, diet, outlook, and mindfulness. And where are the obstacles? Is this person in a stressed out mode? Does this person have a negative attitude? Like, my mom died of this and my dad died of this and my, you know, sister has this problem. And of course I have the problem. Or are they like, whatever it is, I'm going to overcome this, right? That's what we need to get them to. And working through these pillars is so, so important. So we talked about assess. Somebody said assess, right? Mm-hmm. Wait, a reassess, right? Reassess. Who said that? Retest, reassess. So that's the fifth step. So it's assess, connect, plan, remove the obstacles, and reassess. And I see this as one of the biggest issues, that people come and they don't stick around with the planning and with the relationship with the practitioner long enough to get to reassess. And that's when you have these five steps in mind, when you're working with somebody, you're explaining to them, we're going to do this, 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 and this, and then we're going to reassess. We're going to see where you're at. If you've gotten to the point where you want to be, if you've reached your goal, great. You know, I'm going to share with you how to maintain that. We're going to get you on a maintenance plan. But if not, we're going to go back and tweak, you know, redo the plan a little bit, right? Probably don't have to redo the connection, but maybe you will, because when they see they haven't gotten as far as they wanted to, they may get really pissed off at you. That's happened. It's happened to me plenty of times. And we have to go back to the connection piece, back to making sure that we're connecting with their deepest values, that we're hearing them, we're feeling them. Is this making sense? Is this a good review? Yeah. And it doesn't matter whether your patient is somebody that you just met in the lobby and brought in, or this is a person who you love and is your son, your daughter, your mother, your father, or your sister. Quite frankly, those guys are the hardest to deal with, right? The hardest to deal with, because they don't take you seriously. And so what are some of the highlights? Okay. So I would love, if anybody wants to throw out, let's take two or three shares on what for you was some of the highlights. Donna? I got you. Oops. No, I didn't. Go for it. What was the highlight for you? Okay.
So my favorite time was, I mean, it was all wonderful, but my favorite time was with Tom O'Brien. Uh-huh. He had a lot of info that was really, you know, something that I want to continue to look into. And he's just like a wealth of information.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There was just so many different things that was really interesting.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. And because you joined NEPT and you went with the full pay option, you're going to get access to his certification course when you're ready to do it. And you get to go deeper, right? So anybody that did join and gets to do that, we're gifting that to you as part of this, because it is a really valuable thing. Who else has a highlight? Anybody? What was a highlight for you, Lynn Rose? Let's unmute. Yeah. You just happen to be on my screen. That's all.
I see. I know. Gosh, it's hard to say. I thought Ocean did a really good job.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Metzl.
Cool. Yeah. And we're going to talk about takeaways in a bit because I want to make sure you're all committed to takeaways. All right. So who else? Who else was there? Some of you have turned off your cameras. You're hiding on me. Anybody else want to share? Lynn, go ahead, Lynn.
My favorite thing was being there and hugging people and creating new ones and renewing connections with people. The relationships we have in this community are just amazing and motivating, and they keep me going during times where I feel not so wanting to do it.
Well, it gets, you know, whatever you're doing, whether you love it or not, it's a lot of work and it gets tiring, right? So thank you for that. And that was, for me, it was a highlight, is actually connecting with people that I'd only met on calls like this to be able to like, oh, wow, give them a hug. I see Barbara has her hand up. Go ahead, Barbara.
Yeah. For me, all of the above. I mean, the connecting was awesome, even with some of the speakers that I've either watched their online things or bought a program or whatever, like Dr. Anna Kabeca, and seeing her. But for me, it was all the new people that brought information that I was unaware of prior to Shine. So like Trina Felber with the gum health and how it's connected to brain health, and everything that Mike Metzl did, a lot of that went over my head. You know, it's something I'm going to have to watch again, but the whole thing about autophagy and how we can do that in the best way. Trisha Nelson, the emotional eating, there's so many people that deal with that. And honestly, it's not something I've ever actually dealt with because I've been on a diet, quote unquote, for so long. It's a way of life for me, but to understand and have some empathy for those that struggle with that. And then the last thing was Steph Jackson, you know, realizing maybe there's a particular bacteria strain in your probiotic that you need in particular that's different from somebody else. I just had no idea that that was even possible to figure out that you needed that.
Awesome. So, yeah.
So those were some of the things that were new for me.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. It sounds like you really have thought things through and really tabulated in your mind. So I really appreciate that. Thank you. And it was so nice to meet you finally.
Yeah, finally. Everybody.
After seeing you online for a while. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Again, I'm going to lower your hand. Chandra has her hand up. So let me unmute you. Go ahead, Chandra.
Hi.
Hi.
I had a lot of takeaways. I was very intrigued about the polyvagal theory. I was not aware of Stephen Porges to the point where I nerded out. I bought the book and I've been reading it. I woke up this morning at 4:00 and I read chapter 3. So I've been reading about the polyvagal theory. I've been telling my patients about it. Also, even more so enthralled regarding autophagy. I began to learn about that about 2 years ago. So Mike gave a wonderful overview about autophagy, and my mother's all into that one. But I think the polyvagal theory for me was a huge takeaway. So I thank you for that.
Yeah, you're very welcome. You know, I see it, you know, having been doing this for so long, I see so many times that stress piece gets in the way. And I think that when we say, oh, it's stress, we go, okay, you know, I'll give them to meditate. But when you really dig into it, you see how much deeper it is than just saying, okay, de-stress, right? Okay, you need to have some tools, and you can actually explain it to people on a physiologic level, how this is impacting their psychology, their biology, right? So yeah, thank you for that. I really enjoyed doing that, and I want to do more. We're going to do a deep dive on that also for our ERC group, because I think it's really, really important to have that. So, and I just got a new book, somebody recommended it, and it's on circadian cycles. I'll let you know how that is. And if it's a good one, I'll post it in the group, because it was really, I watched this guy's TED talk and I was like so impressed. And I'm going to, you know, kind of incorporate that, because circadian rhythms and polyvagal actually merge really well together. All right. Anybody else? Carrie has her hand up. Go for it, Carrie. I don't know if I can unmute you because you're on a phone. So I think you have to unmute yourself.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can. Hi, Carrie.
All right. Yeah, in addition to what everybody has said, I think the genetic component of what we talked about as far as, especially with bacteria in your gut, and, you know, if you don't have the right bacteria, you're not going to be able to build those colonies that you need and we'll have to supplement. So using genetics that way was a huge aha for me.
Awesome.
And then, yeah, all the community, getting to know people, getting to know what's possible and getting to the root cause.
Awesome.
And then also the TR was really helpful in terms of how to build our presence on LinkedIn, because that's just very timely for me as well.
Yeah, I think for most of us that to me is like a, yeah, it's easy to go on Facebook and talk to your friends, but I have no idea how to do that stuff on LinkedIn. So I'm looking forward to that course. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Carrie. Yeah. And, you know, there was something you said that triggered something in me. It'll come back to me. You mentioned about the connection, then you mentioned about the genetics. In NEPT, we have a genetics module that's going to blow your socks off, because it's not only all the, you know, the theory and all that kind of stuff, but there are recordings of me helping people to understand their genetics, like, dozens and dozens and dozens of hours of that. So I think you'll really enjoy that, because it's one of those things that you can't just learn it in a day. You just can't learn it in a day. So thank you. I see one more hand. We'll go for that, and then I'll continue on with some of what I thought were highlights and some of my ideas for takeaway. So Mary Luciano. You're unmuted. Whoops, you were unmuted, I thought. Oh, it's not letting me unmute you. You might have done it. It did say Mary, I thought. Yeah, Mary Luciano. See if you can unmute yourself. Wait, more? Here, what if I make co-host if it lets you unmute? No, try unmuting yourself and then I'll come back to you when you get open. All right. So ready to move on to what I thought some of the highlights were?
Okay.
There you go.
I think yeah. I'm unmuting myself here.
Yes.
Hi there. There is so much information. I was unable to attend actually when it was live on the weekend. So I'm catching up with all the calls in the last couple of days, with all the live intro last couple of days. So I haven't gone through everything, but I have to say everything so far has been phenomenal. I want to just kind of give credit to that. Was it Audrey, that 11-year-old?
Abigail.
She blew my socks off. Like, her presentation skills and her confidence, I just was wow.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, well, I'm probably what, triple her age, and I probably don't even have the confidence that she has on stage like that. I was just so in awe with her. Just such a darling little one. So that was, first of all, I wanted to give her credit for that. But there was just so much takeaway. I mean, I love, was Anna, was it Anna? Rebecca,
uh-huh.
Yeah, her information was phenomenal in terms of all the hormonal stuff. So much things that I can relate to. I have to give credit with you as well, because the last thing I was listening to was all these stuff on the vagus nerve. And I was like pretty blown away with your information.
Great.
So that was phenomenal. The gentleman with the keto,
I'm
trying to remember everybody's name. You know what? Everyone's information was amazing. Like, this was the first Shine that I actually attended, because I've always been meaning to want to come there, but because I teach during the year, it's hard for me to leave that time of the year. So I'm so happy that you did it live. And the information was amazing. It was just phenomenal, like everything that you chose. And I'm really looking forward to, you know, listening to, you know, the rest of the day, rest of the live videos and so forth and so on. So,
awesome.
So yeah. So thank you for putting it on. I know it's a lot of work, so I'm giving you all the credit in the world, because I know that it's a lot of work, and all the sponsors and all the gifts and all that stuff that you guys were doing. Your MC was amazing. Yeah. I wish I was there live so I can give everybody a hug too, but I just, yeah, I was really taken back by a lot of the information.
Awesome. Next time we're gonna put that in your vision
board. It is.
I've been wanting to for years. So yeah.
Yeah, and more. So yeah.
Cool. Thank you, Mary.
Yeah.
All right. So I am going to move on to what I was thinking. Okay. So I'm going to start with the fasting and the autophagy piece. And for me, one of the takeaways from what Mike said, he said a lot and there's a lot there. And if you haven't, you know, watched it, it's really a good idea to get the videos if you were there in person. And if you're on live stream, you have access to the recordings for like a month or something to go back to. And you can still get that if you attended. But the thing that I was really liked what he said when he said, you know, you don't just throw people in the water and let them kind of try to do this thing, right? You know, you get them to go to a 12-hour fast. And maybe we think that's what everybody should do, but that may be a lot for them, you know, and you just inch them into doing some intermittent fasting, teaching them about fasting, doing alternate days. For some people, even just going 4 or 5 hours during the day without eating is a fast, right? And helping them to get into this autophagy. And I loved how he got in deep with the autophagy. So one of my recommendations to you guys for a takeaway is to find one person, whether it's a family member or yourself, because maybe you're, you know, guilty as charged of eating every 6 hours or eating, you know, with a 6 hour gap overnight, and pick somebody that you can talk to about extending their fast. And the other thing that he said, and this is something that bears out in all the research I've done, is that some people actually do better when their fast is in the later part of the day, which goes with a lot of folks saying to me, but skipping breakfast, can't do that. They all say it's the most important meal of the day. We need to look at that. So look at that and experiment with it yourself. Try going 14 hours and 16 hours from night to morning, you know, which means not eating till 10 or 12 or whatever, and then go the other way. Try doing it where you do get up in the first thing in the morning, you have a really good breakfast, and maybe you stop eating at 4 p.m, right? And you basically do it little by little, inching the person's last meal back a little or first meal up a little. So who's committed to finding a person or yourself to try that with? Who? Anybody? Yeah? Sound like a good idea? Because that's the big thing. And the autophagy, it's really important to get in there periodically, whether it be through a 16-hour, 18-hour fast, or whether it be through a 3 to 5 day fast, or whether it be through a fasting mimicking type situation, which you're going to hear a lot more from me about over the next few months. He touched on ketogenic. I went into a lot more on the keto diet. But I think the thing we have in common, we have different eating styles, he and I, but I think what we both agree with is that if you're eating animal products, they need to be organic, they need to be pasture raised. And for most people, more on the way of the whole foods, plant-based, filling the gaps, and not so much butter and bacon and oil, which is not a real whole food. You know, people who are doing keto and then they're not getting a good result is, yeah, they may lose weight, but they're just drinking all this coconut oil and MCT oil, and they're not eating whole foods, and over time they become deficient. So the big takeaway with that for me is, you know, go ahead and find somebody who is talking about keto and help them to design a keto plan that actually is very nutrient dense. And this other thing that I would have you all do is get a keto mojo, and then do your own index. Whoops. Do your own keto glucose keto index. So get a keto mojo, measure your glucose, measure your ketones, and see where you are. And this is basically an autophagy scale, right? So if you're less than one, your highest level of therapeutic ketosis, massive autophagy. If you're greater than 9, you're not in ketosis at all. No big deal, but how do you know? It's all going to be different for each person. Some people might get into this massive autophagy within 20 hours of fasting. Other people, it might be, you know, 5, 6, 7 days before they get there. And it may be that they need repetitive shorter fasts to be able to retrain their body. So don't give up on it, but try it on yourself. try it on yourself. Who's willing to get a Keto Mojo and start testing their ketones and glucose and experimenting? Yeah. And see where you're at and then, you know, what things make it work. Okay. We talked about emotional eating, right? Who hasn't done that? Who's looking, let me grab whatever out of the refrigerator and eat it. For me, it was the ice cream container. If I just don't take it out and put it in a bowl, no one will know that I'm eating ice cream, except that the half empty and then three quarters empty and then the empty container of ice cream is buried in the back of the refrigerator in the freezer so nobody sees it. And so that's something we all need to be able to spot and address with people. And if you're not comfortable with that, do some research and explore. Those of you in our programs, we have something I put together called the Emotional Eating Strategy. And I had one of my clients say that she read Trisha's book and then she read my little thing. And she said, oh, it was so great to have this all summarized into how do you create your own emotional eating strategy. So if you are an emotional eater, like, I mean, I still probably can be, but I've changed what I eat and I don't do it that often like I used to. But it's like, what are the emotions that trigger it? What did those emotions trigger you to do? How do you feel right after you do it? Is it really solving the problem? And what can you do instead to do self-nurturing and self-care? So it's something that I think everybody just needs to have some understanding about how it works. Mary mentioned, or somebody mentioned, I think it was Barbara, about the microbiome in the mouth, right? About what Trina was talking about. And so many people don't even realize, but we have to take care of that environment in the mouth. So a follow-up would be is to look into some of the things, use the stuff for those of you who are there in the bag, because she gave us the toothbrush and she gave us the little clay toothpaste that's with the three different kinds of clay. Start to use it and see if you notice a difference, right? Do it consistently, brush for 2 minutes and see if you notice a difference in how your teeth feel, but also overall, how's your energy and how you're feeling? It's one of those things that get overlooked. And I think that's one of the things I need to step up my game on is the oral care because I had all my teeth were filled by the time I was 10. And then once I got all my adult teeth, they were all filled by the time I was 20 and I was having root canals. So it's just this thing from, you know, eating M&Ms and Ronzoni macaroni and drinking Kool-Aid doesn't help with your oral microbiome. So that was a top takeaway. And then, of course, the polyvagal theory. And there's a lot of takeaways there. And what I would recommend you do is if you took notes, go back to your notes and find one thing that you can do. And if you don't remember, I'm going to give you two things that you can choose from. Remember breathing. Remember your breath controls, whether you're in sympathetic or parasympathetic. The in-breath is more of a sympathetic response. The out-breath is more of a parasympathetic, right? So go ahead and start breathing that way. Start focusing on your breath and teach your clients, but also watch, like especially if you're face-to-face with them or even on a Zoom call, you can always tell when they start to go into sympathetic breathing, right? You see the shoulders up and down. I'm exaggerating it, right? But we need to watch their diaphragm expand, right? And the longer out breath is going to help them to get better into parasympathetic and do the vagus, stimulate the vagus, right? And then, oh, I said two things and I only gave you one. The second one was the humming. And I was just listening to another book on the vagus nerve and all. He was talking about humming the syllable om, right? This universal meditation type syllable. So just try that right now. Just everybody just try that. Just hum om. 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 And as you do that, did you notice your shoulders dropping? Did you notice your neck softening? Right? These are simple things that you can interject into your great coaching on what they should be eating and your great coaching about how they should be exercising. And you just, I sometimes will just say, I'll just exaggerate the breath. I'll say, breathe. And just right in the middle and they stop and they breathe. And then they can continue in a much more calm way. So these are little things you can do to help people get into the vagus nerve, right? And of course, stuff with the organisms, right? And one of the big takeaways for me is to focus on, with me being in a keto type diet all the time, you know, plant-based keto, is to focus on my resistant starches. So today in my ice cream, my protein powder ice cream, I put some green banana powder in there, right? I had some other things, but that was the one that actually applied for me, right? So really experiment with those resistant starches yourself. Then you can teach other people how to do it in a way that doesn't raise their blood sugar. Right? Test your own blood sugar. The green banana powder didn't budge my blood sugar. Right? So I can get that. I can get the resistant starch. I can feed the good microbiome, which is uber important for me because I tend to have that. Remember, I talked about that FUT2 gene that affects your microbiome. And I have like six homozygous, six, you know, bad guys from both parents. But that resistant starch is going to help me with my microbiome. Is this helpful, everybody? Yes. We had Dr. Allen talk about the lab testing. Was there any one big takeaway? Because he said so much. Was there any one big takeaway that anybody wants to share from that? Anybody? Put your hand up if you do. Let me see if I can find this. I'll find my people. There's 38 of you on. Awesome. Who would like to share one takeaway from what Allen talked about, Dr. Allen? Dr. Hopkins. No?
I will.
Okay, go for it.
Me?
Yeah.
Me?
The two of you. So one and then the other. Who is first?
I wasn't aware that regarding the hemoglobin A1C, we know that it's reflective of 3 months of sugar intake in theory, but it's the prior 2 weeks. 50% of it is reflected in the A1C, your sugar consumption or your food consumption 2 weeks before. I wasn't aware of that.
That was a big takeaway, yes. That was a huge takeaway because we always think about it being a 3 months, so we figure, well, it's not going to show up. But yeah, the last 2 weeks, that was huge for me too. Thank you, Shonda.
Okay.
And who was the second one that said?
Me, Louisa.
Okay, go for it.
Okay. For me, the takeaway was that cryotherapy can help you change regular fat to brown fat.
Ah.
And I did not know that it did that. And I've been doing cryotherapy, and all I can tell you is it sure gives you energy.
Woo.
But now I know of another advantage, another benefit.
Awesome. So you'd been doing it before his talk, and now you are more incentivized?
I've been doing it now since July 4th, or mm-hmm. since every day. And you go 3 minutes in my way to work and I freeze to 200 degrees. And let me tell you, you feel at 5 o'clock the same as you feel with your 10 o'clock patient.
Wow.
It is unbelievable.
And you're when you say you're doing cryotherapy, you're going to a place where they put you in a unit or are you just
yes.
in the cold shower?
No. I go to a place and you go into a tank. And it's liquid, it's whatever, nitrogen, and it's only 3 minutes. So from there, I can get back rest and get back and go to work. So it's in my way to work. So it's nice. Like my stop, and it's 3 minutes, and it really feels good. You
awesome.
Freeze for 3 minutes, and then you get rest, and I go to work.
Was there a long adaptation period for that? Like, oh my God, what am I, it's over.
The only, maybe the first two times I felt kind of cold and because I didn't know what to expect, but they give you little booties and gloves.
Okay.
So you have little booties and gloves and that's it. And I highly recommend it.
Wow.
There's places, I know there must be in Austin, but here in San Antonio, they have a couple of places and one just happens to be really close to my house. And you just pay your membership by the month
yeah.
and then just go every day.
Awesome.
So,
wow. Who's brave enough to try that one? Not me yet. Not me yet, but I'm thinking about it. I'm still trying to get the nerve up to turn on the cold water at the end of the shower for 30 seconds.
I was going to say the same thing. I've been doing that for a little while, up to 5 minutes, and it is challenging. And so, yeah, kudos to you there.
Yeah.
And I just actually Googled Toronto cryotherapy just to see if I have any, and I do have some close by, so I'm going to give it a try.
All right.
Oh, and it's only 3 minutes. Yes. And somebody stays there to talk to you, like to distract you, but you really don't, like I'm already past that. I don't need that, but they always stay there just to make sure nothing happens to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that, because that's one that I've always had. Oh, I can't do that. I'll turn the hot on. I'll go in the hot tub. I go in the sauna.
Yeah.
Thank you, Louisa. Yeah. Thank you. All right. Anybody else before we move on? Anybody else have a burning share? Okay. Yeah. So genetics. That was my favorite. I don't know. The polyvagal and the genetics, I loved putting together because I love talking about both of them. Was there anything really a big takeaway from the genetics? I could tell you lots of them, and I will if nobody else shares, but I do have a couple of action steps that I want you to be doing as a result. So anybody? Genetics. Some of you were at last year's conference, right? And so some of this wasn't new. Who thought that it was a good review from last year, a small, short review? And who thought, I don't remember last year, it was all new? Anybody? Okay, nobody's raising their hands, except I can't, maybe you are, but I can't see you.
I did. I raised my hand.
Okay. So you thought it was a good review, or you thought it was like, oh, this is great, I remember.
It was a great review, and I was surprised how much I did remember, but I also picked up a few things that I missed last year. So I enjoyed both.
This good. One was there one takeaway for you that seemed to resonate for you?
Yes, I think so. We're not predestined just because we have SNPs. It's whether or not we're manifesting them, and our lifestyle and the things that we're learning to do here can have a big effect on whether or not those things can be good or bad.
Yeah.
And it really is true. And that's what I've discovered in the last year, you know, in watching, going through this program with you. More and more of the stuff is making sense. And a lot of the things with increasing supplements and them not working, and then you look at that SNP and you go, oh, well, that's why it's not working. And so then we can make modifications. But yeah, it's really starting to just be really easy to pick up now. So
yeah,
last year's was fabulous, but I was confused. But this year it was more succinct. I think it's shorter.
Maybe well, it was. It was an hour and a half instead of 3 hours, 3 days. Right.
There was so much last year. It was like I walked away kind of.
It was too much. Yeah, it was. It was. I'm glad that that sunk for you. And for me, this piece is what helps us with the obstacle step and the plan step, the plan and the obstacles. It helps us to identify why this person may have some of these obstacles, right? And have a difficult time with it, and how you can modify their environment to help support and not like stress out pathways that may not be genetically able to handle it. I find this is one of my my pillars of influence when I'm working with clients, right? I can finally get them to think when I show them, well, you have this caffeine SNP, and it handles caffeine and protecting your breasts, right? And they're like, do you want the cup of coffee or do you want your breasts protected? Right. And they get to make the choice. And I'm not going to judge them based on the choice they make. But if you're drinking coffee and you have this SNP, just know that it's less able to handle the 4-hydroxy estrogens that are so dangerous. Right. And it helps people to go, oh, alcohol. I have that one. Or, oh, my body handles alcohol. Okay. Doesn't mean you have the license to go have 3 drinks a day, but it says like an occasional drink. But for me, an occasional drink is like a disaster.
Yeah.
Right. And for some, like an occasional gluten exposure may not throw them off the deep end, but for others it may. And knowing some of the SNPs really helps us to to really do the plan and removing the obstacles.
Yeah. And it also with that vitamin D, the example you gave about the vitamin D, that you had two different people and you gave them similar doses and yeah, totally different reactions. So
totally different. And we don't know how to predict that, which is why we go back to step five being so important, the reassess. Because if you put somebody on, you know, 20,000 IUs of vitamin D and you don't go back and reassess, you could either shove them into a major overload, which will make their bones more brittle, et cetera. Or if you don't give them enough, you're not doing them justice to get their levels up and you may need more. So I think that the genetics really helps us in those, the planning and the reassessment, you know, yes, stages and the obstacles. So yeah, thank you. Anybody else want to share anything related to genetics? Yeah, Donna.
So for me, you know, my whole life, I ate a lot of meat, a lot of gravy, a lot of, you know, the animal stuff. And so that APOE thing, and you're not supposed to do the saturated fats, the animal proteins, and it's like, because I didn't know that and did that my whole life, thus is why I have the issues I have now. And, you know, it would almost be more beneficial when somebody has a baby to run the genetics, know what they should and shouldn't, you know, stay away from.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it, the whole healthcare system is so backwards, because if we knew ahead of time, then we would know, make sure you always have this, make sure you never have that, you know.
Empowering parents, right, to do what they may hear is right thing to do, but now they're seeing it, how it's going to apply to their baby.
Right.
And it goes along with the vaccinations too. There are certain people that have the genetics, or just like if they get vaccinated, they can, you know, really end up with whether it's autism or, you know, some serious seizures and whatnot. So knowing, I think I agree with you that I think that should be a part of the screening right away. Yeah. And you know, you can screen mom and dad and kind of guess at what baby has as well. That's another way to do it. But it's such an easy thing to do. Like you stick a swab in the baby's mouth and you grab the cells and you do the testing. That reminds me that I just got the kit in the mail for testing out a new genetic thing. So I've just got to, you know, make sure I do it without, you know, anything else in my mouth and whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to run that kit and I'm going to let everybody know how that plays out, whether I think it's worthwhile to continue to use 23andMe in spite of what they're not doing anymore, or whether that be a good alternative. So we'll get to that. All right. So I wanted to share the other piece, and we did this on the last day, and I don't know if we spent as much time, but I really encourage you guys to take this sheet and really look at where your shortcomings are and where your strengths are. Right? So you know how to focus your time. And for those of you who are continuing on with us in NEPT, and I would love to hear from a few of you, is that we'll be looking at this with you, and we'll be helping to guide you to where you should be focusing your attention and how you should be focusing your attention. So, who was it that said that they, who would like to share, whoever who joined NEPT at Shine and says, who would like to share, like what prompted them and what, you know, was it something in this, I'm shortcoming on this, or was it a particular conversation? I would love to hear from a few of you. Okay. So I see Louisa, and I'm going to unmute you. You just joined last year and then, or 2 years ago, and then Donna. So go ahead. Let me unmute you. There, go ahead, Louisa, and then Donna.
Well,
yeah.
What prompted me was back 2 years ago was the body balance area, that I knew that something was out of balance and I needed to help myself because I wasn't getting answers anywhere.
Yeah.
So what I discovered once I got into it is that the fun pillar I didn't have. I had the fun pillar before NEPT, but after NEPT, my fun pillar became studying because I ran out of time. So that was
So you're saying that that fun for you is actually learning and studying and how the body works so that you can help yourself and others.
Yes. So body. That became that. But before that, I did have other hobbies that I was having fun. But now I don't have time for those other hobbies because I have to do this. But
do you have to do it or do you get to do it?
No, it's to get to do it, I don't have. But I have fun.
That's great.
But I have fun even working. I had a patient tell me that today. You have so much fun here. I said, that's yes. Awesome. So.
That's awesome. Thank you, Louisa.
Okay.
Donna, yeah.
So when I wanted to do the virtual shine, I had no idea that, you know, it had to the NEPT. I had no idea. And so I figured, oh, well, I'm just going to learn more. I always like to learn and learn and learn. And so I was there. And then when you started saying it, I was just like, oh. And then I was just like, hey, that's a great idea. And so I was like, yes, that's exactly what I want to do.
Wow.
So it was very, you know, it's like, because when I had with Lynn, we did that vision board, you know, nothing like that was on, you know, just, you know, I still want to make the beauty products one of these years, I might. But it wasn't really anything to really drive me to do it. I wasn't really learning, you know, like smart learning. I mean, there's learning, but then there's smart learning. And I've always done smart learning, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just sitting around being a mom. And, you know, I'm so in people's faces about this type of thing anyway.
Yeah.
And I was just like, hey. And I was like, I couldn't like push buttons fast enough.
That's so awesome, Donna. Yeah. I was like, whoa, Donna. And then I was thinking, well, Donna's so smart and she's so, you know, and I could see this as your next step.
Yeah.
I really can, right?
I mean, I already have like, I was talking to Lynn and she said that we're going to get a binder. I didn't know that. So I was like setting up my binder. Got all binder. My
Yeah, you'll get a binder. Awesome. That's really, so great. And you know, the thing is, one of the things I said at the beginning is a lot of people say, I can't be a practitioner and help other people because I'm still working on myself. I still have some extra weight. I still have some brain fog. But what better incentive to really work on yourself than with the idea that you're going to learn.
And that's one of the things too. You know, it was like, hey, this is going to give me that incentive to get off my behind, do what I need to do, because I got to walk the walk and talk the talk.
I love it. I got goosebumps from that, Donna. Thank you. I'm glad you're here. Awesome. Who else? Carrie, are you in a position where you could say a couple of words? I'm just wanting to hear from a few people just because I didn't get to do that at the event because it was so busy. And like, what incentivized? I know you're a nurse and you're in a hospital setting, and I'd just love to hear what incentivized you if you wanted to share.
Sure. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can.
I'm not sure if you can see me either, but I'm in a kind of a noisy area. But I'm not a nurse. I'm an educator, actually.
An educator.
And,
okay.
Yeah, and what it was interesting, Rita Marie, because you were talking about caring about your clients and caring about us. And I realized that what brought me to NEST is that I built a relationship with you at Brighton Bush. And that relationship, you invited me to come to Shine, and I went, I do want to go to Shine. I was liking what I was hearing. I thought it would take me to the next level because I really want to help my clients get to the root cause of what's bothering them and get them into balance. And so building that relationship made it safe for me to go to Shine. And then that continued during the weekend. And by the time I was done, I'm like, this is 100% what I want to do because it's going to get me where I want to go. It's going to get me into that geeky, all that geeky information that is going to help me deliver, right?
Right.
For my clients.
Not, and myself and my family, of course, too. Yeah. Those that'll listen.
Yeah. Well, those that'll listen, that's a good way to phrase it, right? You're there for them if they're only hearing. And if they're not, then your clients and the future clients, the people at work. And there are a few nurses in here that work in hospital settings. One in particular comes to mind who's an oncology nurse. And she get in the program and she's learning stuff and sharing it with her colleagues at work. And some of them are like, you know, and others are like, wow, this is so cool. And they're constantly asking her questions now. And she started, as she went through the assessment module, going through the labs that were done on these oncology people and going, oh my God, not only did they miss these functional things, but these are way out of balance. And why are they not? Why are these people not being addressed? Why is their diabetes not being addressed, right? This is leading to their cancer. So it's just really, I'm excited and I can't wait to really get to know you as part of the program. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, you know, if you haven't already done it, take this map and just kind of go through it and identify if there's areas that you're weak in your self-care, in your clinical skills, or in your business and marketing. Make sure you have a plan. Like, what is your plan? For some of you, your plan is to work with us and get the ongoing education. But if you don't, if you're not going to do that, then what is your plan? I don't want you guys walking away without a plan for moving forward with this. Does that make sense? Yes? All right. Okay. Diana said, I wanted to get my daughter, the occupational therapist, to take this. It would take her work to a whole new level. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's see. So we gave you this and it's still available if you haven't filled it out yet. This practice success quiz. And this identifies areas that you, where you feel strong, where you feel weak, and use this and this other sheet here, right, to help you to know what your next steps are. Because when you plan, what is it? When you fail to plan, you plan to fail, right? And if you don't have a plan, you have this vague dream out there. How are you going to get there, right? How are you going to get there? And sometimes it just like calls to you. Like Donna said, oh, I had no idea. I had no intention. But like this yearning, this calling from inside said, that's it. That's where I want to go with this. So anyway, three areas. Focus on these three areas in building your business, your practice, your influence, your status as an influencer, right? Self-nurturing, self-care mastery is what I've started to call it more recently. Like mastering the art of taking care of you, right? And in NEPT, we have a whole process for doing that, right? We give you access to every single client program I ever created, to go through yourself. And we even make rules. If you come to one of those client calls, you are not allowed to ask questions for your clients. You're allowed to ask questions for you because we want you to be working on yourself as you're mastering the clinical skills. Clinical skills, we have up the wazoo, right? We are, it's like a, somebody said today, an Ivy League, like a Harvard level program in functional nutrition, functional healthcare, right? Nutritional endocrinology. It's not like a little, you know, kindergarten or high school level or basic level, right? It's like an Ivy League education that we give you. And then with the marketing and business strategies, those of you who are in Practice Accelerator, and we have a bunch, you guys are the ones who I'm going to work with individually on growing your practice and promoting you out to my list of over 150,000 people. And by the time you get there, it'll be way more than that. And somebody who joined Practice Accelerator a couple of years ago said, oh my God, I only got it out to 25,000 people. I can't imagine getting it out to 150,000. And, you know, she made a lot of money on her first launch. So it's the kind of thing that if you're ready for it, let's work together on it. But everybody in the program gets access to some marketing and business skills. Right. And we do some periodically, we do a mastermind day where we work together to help grow that. And we're going to do quarterly trainings and, you know, my masterminds on this to help you with wherever you are to move you forward. And we have a whole library of trainings. So I think that all of these things are important. And the training I had in school when I, you know, when I went to school back 30 years ago was the clinical skills, but not the mastery of how do I get this out there? How do I create my own, take care of myself through this? And that's why I've created our program this way, you know, so it includes the self-care mastery, right? Who's taking care of themselves as well as they think they could? Who's not taking care of themselves as well as they think they could, right? And so we need to get into that. So I'm not, I discovered, right? One of my colleagues did a presentation the other day and said that chronic overwork is a contributing factor to heart disease. And it ranks as high as, guess what? Smoking in contributing. And here I am eating well and doing all this stuff. Chronic overwork. But what his definition of chronic overwork scared the living bejesus out of me. It says more than 10 hours a day, 50 days out of the year. I'm like, excuse me, I do that 7 days a week, most weeks, right? So how many of us are letting go of some of the things that are, you know, we know we're not shoveling crap into our bodies, right? And we're taking supplements. I mean, maybe we're exercising, but how much sleep are you getting? And how much work are you doing? So we really need to take care of ourselves. And, you know, we offer you that opportunity when you join NEPT. The other thing is that I think is super important. And again, whether you work with us or whether you work with somebody else, the mentorship is so critical. And that's the piece that when I got out of school, it was such a struggle to get started because I didn't have a mentorship. I didn't have anybody. And then a few years later, I discovered this little flyer came in the mail to me that said, new opportunity in a healthcare of health coaching. Health coaching. This was back in 1992 or three. 1993. He was talking about health coaching. I wish for his sake he would have trademarked the term because now you can't. But he was the first person I ever heard talk about health coaching. And I did something that I'd never done before. I joined his program. It was similar to like Shine and us giving. And I suddenly went, I need to be in his program. I went to this 2-day weekend thing and I was like, oh my God, he's going to give me done for you materials. I don't have time to create that. Oh, he's going to give me this. We're going to have meetings and we're going to learn. It was before the internet. So we actually had to get on planes to learn. And it was such a an eye-opening thing for me. Now I went on those done for yous were actually pieces of paper that I had to take to the photocopier and photocopy for each person. Like we've gone way beyond that. Our done for yous are PDFs that you can, you know, just copy and give to each person, or you can actually edit our Word docs and, you know, put your own logo on it and edit it and make it your own because everybody's a little different in how they speak. So the done for you stuff is amazing, but also the mentoring, right? Somebody who's been there and done that. So whether you work with us in NEPT or whether you find another mentor to work with, you need to have that support to pull you through, to guide you through. It's a rare person that doesn't, right? People say, well, you didn't have that. I have spent hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars on mentoring. And I continue to do that because somebody that's ahead of me can help me to get to where I want to go much faster than I can do it on my own. The other thing that I love, I mean, I did this by leaving my job in computers and going back to school and getting my master's degree and my doctorate, was a certification and license, whatever you want to call it. We don't have to do that anymore, right? Who can afford to just dump everything and go back to school for 4 years, right? If you have a family, if you have a job, you're making money, you're a sole supporter of your family. We've given you the opportunity to do this online and go for certification, right? And get that credential that says this is you've been trained and somebody else put their seal of approval on you. But the other thing that I wish I had when I graduated, and we've included in our NEPT program, is professional opportunities that you get to actually be mentored. Now, I did get that in school. Those of you who have done you know, chiropractic or medical doctor, you had to go through an internship, right? You had to work with somebody who had the skills and have them mentor you through. I had a year of that, which was, you know, one of my courses, right? I had to go through clinic and see patients and get approval. We've created that within this online space. And I don't know of any other online programs that offer that, because, you know, it's one thing to learn stuff and it's another thing to actually get out there and start doing it and have somebody look at you and go, hey, here's how you can handle this case. Here's some suggestions on how you can connect with this person or how you can better assess this person. So we offer professional opportunities like that within the scope of the program. When you get to a certain level, you can apply to be a coach like Lynn Rose and like who else is on here? I saw Annette. Louise is too busy. She has a full-time optometry practice. She doesn't have time for that. But there are a lot of other folks in the program who are now coaching. We actually have 16 to 18 coaches that are either going through an internship or we're actually paying to coach our people. You know, I've gotten a big list. I've gotten a big following, and we get people all the time that say, oh, I want you to coach me. I want to get your help with this particular case. And I don't have that time in my schedule, but I've got coaches that I've trained. I've got certified coaches that I've trained that you can then work with. And so that's an opportunity once you graduate is to go, Hey, you're standing out. I want to apply to be hired by you while I'm building my own practice, or instead of building my own practice. There are people who don't want to build their own practice, but they want to do this. So we offer that. And I think there's no other programs that do it. But if you are like at a point where you want deep dive, you want to have the kind of education that you got over the 3 days at Shine, on an ongoing basis. You just don't want to know here, make green smoothies and, you know, make sure people eat greens, which is all important and we teach it. But if you want to go beyond, when people are sitting there and they're going, my thyroid isn't working and I'm on medication and I don't know what to do and I don't know how to test, that you know how to look at their tests, that you know how to refer them out when they need it, that you know how to help them with their diet and lifestyle. So I want to make sure that all of you have these things under your belt, that you have a plan for getting all this education to be able to support people in the way that they need it. We live in a complex world, right? It's not like it was a century ago. The toxins in the air, the EMFs, and now the 5G coming out, vaccine injuries. There's so much that's happening to people and they need your support. And then the emotional and the stress levels, they need our support, but they need us to be able to go deep. Yeah, being a health coach and, you know, simply helping them eat better is great. And if that's what you want to do, fine. This isn't really the program for you, although you'll get a lot of that in the program. You will. This is also a little different in that some folks who go to like an IFM kind of thing, they get all this great training and all this great training and assessments. But in terms of the how-tos on how to teach people how to eat and how to customize that diet, they're a little light. And that's why we're very heavy on that piece. And I'm actually out there showing you and teaching you how to create a stream of income even with doing classes in your environment. And then, of course, the done-for-you materials are just, you know, beyond. Every module has a bunch of done-for-you materials, handouts, protocols, checklists, recipes, assessments that you can use instead of spending hundreds of thousands of dollars and 20 years like I did creating it. Right? I got to do that for you. And they work because I've been using it in my practice and in my online programs for a long time. So all of this stuff is included in NEPT. But the other thing you need to make sure is that you continue your education, that you attend workshops, that you attend continuing ed stuff. Come to Shine every year. What we include for anybody that joins NEPT is access, the all access library pass to every Shine we've done. So we've done 7 already. So you're going to get all the videos and all the handouts for that to keep you going, but you also get tickets every year to come back to Shine, right? We just give you the tickets and you come, right? You have to pay for your own food. We can't feed you, but we can provide you with access to the seminars and then the recordings afterwards. So it's really, really exciting. So for those of you, I'm just going to quickly, I want to move on to a few other things that I want to share, but I want to let you know that if you were at the event or you missed it when we talked about this. Maybe you were on the live stream and you were like, oh, I missed what is she talking about? This is our program called the Nutritional Endocrinology Practitioner Training. And we have everything we just talked about. And we do authentic business and marketing strategies to help you get out there and position yourself. And we have all these different units that we provide you with, right? We have our fundamentals, and that's just your basics, but also your pillars, the obstacle removing, right? This number three here it is your obstacle removing. And we give you amazing resources that you can use with your clients to help them through whatever obstacles are in their way. You can use these forever and ever, or you can use them just while you're creating your own. Either way is fine with us, but I want you to have something to get started with, because I tell you, it took me a long time when I got out in practice to try to create this stuff. We also have this amazing module, the Functional Nutrition Mastery, where we go in depth on the macro, the micronutrients, all the different kinds of, I call them the food religions, but all that kind of stuff, where you're going to get access to all of this and learn, how do you know who is going to need a low oxalate diet, or who's going to need a histamine diet? What are the pitfalls? How do you do it? So each of those are separate units within that module. I mean, there's probably 25 hours worth of education there that you can learn from. And then all the diet and menu planning tools from all the things that I've created over the last 30 years, food allergies and elimination diets and templates that you could use to take people through that, food guidelines and nutrient needs. Like, how do you help people to identify what they should be eating based on their specific nutrient imbalances? And we have assessments for each of these areas. So you get to do this. And if you don't have access to stuff like this, this is the kind of stuff you need. So you can either create it yourself, you can take individual courses in this, or, you know, you can join us. It's up to you. But I want to make sure that we're creating this future, that you and I together are creating this future. And I want to give you what you need to be able to step into that future. And then the food guidelines by body system. Eating for digestive health, eating for thyroid health, et cetera, et cetera. So you have outlines of when you identify somebody with certain areas of problem that you can go in here. This is just the light touch. We have more in-depth touch with that, but this gives you some really good templates for you to move with. I don't want to take too much time with this, but this piece, those of you who heard Laura and Kimberly speak at the event, we have to really be able to look at what's going on energetically and emotionally with our clients, because that could keep them from carrying through with the best plans. So we have an energy medicine basics class where I teach about acupuncture, meridians, and chakras and basic stuff. But then Laura and Kimberly go in depth with the emotional energy healing and interactions and cases and practical strategies and the energy and physiology of trauma with Kimberly, and then dancing with defenses, which is like an invaluable course for you to be able to work with not just your clients, but with your family members and your friends, and identifying those personality patterns that you just find pretty annoying, but really are locked into their psyche and there's a place for it. And how do you work with those people, and how do you identify your own and how they're getting in your way? So I'm excited about adding that. That's a new module. Those of you who have been in an EPT for a while and want to add that on, Laura's given us a very special bundle. And many of you have already done it, but if anybody wants to, just reach out to us and we'll show you how to add that on. This is one of my favorites, the assessments. I love the assessments. I love looking at the labs. I love each of it. And we've created a 19-module unit on assessments that you get to go through at your own pace, figure out how to do that history, how to look at people. If you can't see them in your office and you're not allowed to touch them, we teach you how to do a virtual physical exam. Is that cool? A virtual physical exam, yeah? And then how do you teach them how to test themselves at home, go through all the blood chemistry and all the different systems in the body? How do we set up assessments for each one so we know what labs to run, how to read those labs, filled with case studies and examples so that you really learn it? The Dutch test, you saw we went through that in brief during the system. And then the different systems in the body and an in-depth dive in how are these systems going? How do they work? You know, but also how do they break? And how does medicine handle it when they break? And how can we look at it to help them repair from a functional perspective? Lots of protocols, lots of really great done-for-you resources in this area. And then finally, how do you really do this in the real world? How do you go out there and interview and record keeping and keep them motivated and design coaching programs and moving from passion to purpose? That's one from that Toni St. Clair, some of you know, she's amazing. And she put together this coaching, like, how do you go from your passion to your purpose and infuse that into your work? And how do you enroll people? And we have a whole section on enrollment and coaching skills. How do you make that connection with people such that they go, I want to work with you, you know, sign me up, 3 months, 6 months, whatever it might be. And then we have all the pieces for the authentic business and marketing. We have some pre-trainings and then quarterly types of interactions where you can ask me questions. And we have people coming on and saying, I just got invited to a health fair. How can I set that up so that I can entice people to come work with me? Okay, here's how. And we brainstorm. And then finally, it's preparation for certification. And we work with you. It's usually a 2-3 month process where you're going to get together with a group that's working with it. You're going to support each other and you're going to get the milestones done. And finally, like those folks on stage at Shine, get your certification. So I think that this is the best program out there, but I'm a little prejudiced. I'd love to hear from if there's a couple of people here that may want to share a little bit of their experience, and then we're going to finish up. Who was it that I was thinking is on? Is Patty on the phone? Is Patty here? Patty,
are you on video?
What's that?
She's on video. She's right here.
She's right. Where is she? Let me see. It's like I don't see all of you. There she is, Patty. Yay! I'm so glad to welcome you. Yay! Thank you. I would love to hear a little bit about what your background is, like, and then what prompted you to say yes to yourself?
Oh, yes. Well, my background is in medical music therapy. And so as a therapist, you know, I worked in head injury and in all kinds of venues. And then started a family and stopped for a while and had a private practice actually working with autistic children. And then I had my own children. But the idea of, I often wondered where there was always a gap. You know, I worked with these clients, they would get well, they'd go home, but then there was no carry through. And I often it just didn't make sense to me because that means they could never carry on. And I always had an interest in health and wellness to begin with. I had my own personal journey starting at 16. And then again, when I was getting closer to my 40s, and then my youngest daughter had a concussion. I also watched my grandmother, and I watched my mother just needlessly in pain and discomfort and neglect, which we just know that's what it was. And so as I sat and was at Shine, there was just something that said, no, this is what you've been wanting to do. And I've always had an interest in food as medicine. I'm very much of feeding people. And I grew up in a French family. So it was always, of course, pastries and things, but which is good. But food and hospitality and knowing that food is medicine to live the best quality life that you can. And that I didn't get to see that. My mom, she tried her best, but her quality of life was so taken. And so just sitting through there, listening to you, Dr. Marie, and I'm gracious to hear just your systematic approach. And it just goes along with music therapy and the ISO principle that we use and the idea of music as medicine and the wellness. And so that's what kind of it just, you just have it just right. It was just time for me to say I'm ready to make a change. And my daughters now are both in college, and time for me to come back into the working world and be able to have fun and do what I've always wanted to do, is to combine both of my my interest of food as medicine and music therapy.
Awesome. I love that. And I think that could be an awesome thing. And if you're open to it as we get further along, doing, you know, sharing some of that, like doing a presentation for us to show us how we can integrate some of the music stuff into the therapy, it would be awesome.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you so much and welcome. I'm excited to have you here. I'm so excited to have you here. There was a message here from Angelica. Let me just see. Okay. So, yeah, thank you so much, Shelley, and for all of you who've put your faith in us. And if it's the right time for you, it's the right time for you. And if it's not, then, you know, think about if you're being called and it's not the right time, it's not the right time and you can do this in the future. But the beauty of doing it now is that you get access and you get, you know, some special opportunities. And we would love if you were at Shine and you said, hey, I'm not sure. And you left without signing up, go ahead and just go to this NEPT deposit and put a deposit down and have a conversation with one of our coaches and figure out where you fit into this process and how we can fit you in to this process right now. Because the longer you wait, you know, Annette said, you know, oh, it's not the right time for me. She may have lost her daughter, right? Let's just say Louisa said, this isn't the right time for me. How many of those patients who came in with those retinopathies that she wouldn't have known what to do with, right? That would have lost their eyesight, right? And how many people who came into the program who have helped their parents or have helped their loved ones? You know, sometimes it is not the right time, but are we ever really ready? Who has children, right? Are you ever really ready for what that brings you? Are you ever really like fully ready? Are you ever really ready for college? But we step in and we do it. So I'd encourage you to just go to the drreadamarie.com NEP deposit. We do have still available. We're going to be offering you for coming tonight and going there a couple of invest in full bonuses that I think are going to be really, really big for you. And that's the You the Brand that JJ Virgin put together that has helped me to like really hone in on who am I out there and how can I position myself so the right people know how to get me. And so the You the Brand is awesome. And then this new piece that we're putting together, which is Practical Herbalism Therapeutics, Herbal Therapeutics. And we're going to be doing that live. We're going to be delivering that live sometime in the spring, probably. We haven't put a specific date, but I'm thrilled about that because I've recently gotten a second, or I'm close to getting a second herbal certification and learning a whole lot more. And we have folks in our program who are very well-versed, who I am going to invite to teach part of that program with me. So I'm really looking forward to that. So if you are, just go and sign up at the NEPT deposit, get on the calendar. We'll reach out to you when you do that and we'll figure out what the best plan is for you. You know, if money is, you know, some people say that I can't afford it, right? But then other people say, I don't know how I'm going to afford it, but I'm doing it anyway. And then we figure out a plan for you and we can work it out for you in terms of payment plans and whatnot. So I'd encourage you, if you haven't already done it, to go there and we'll make it work for you. You know, so I just want to say that I am thrilled with all of you who have said yes to yourself. I'm looking to make a big impact in this world. I went to a conference over the weekend. One of my mentors, Jeffrey Bland, was there. Who knows Jeffrey Bland? Anybody has ever heard it? Nobody's heard of Jeffrey Bland? Oh my God. He's like the father of functional medicine. Who has? Yes?
I have. He's getting ready to be on a summit about Alzheimer's.
Yep, he is. He's well sought after. He actually started the Institute of Functional Medicine. I used to study with him before that was started. So that ages me, right? When I was still in school and after I graduated, I went to a lot of his webinars. But the guy has a photographic memory. So whenever he teaches, he says, oh, and back in 1945, so-and-so did this study and it said this. And I'm like, but I didn't realize he had a photographic memory for people. So when I went up to him a couple of years ago, I met him at an IFM conference and I went up to him and I bought his book and I said, you probably don't remember me, but I was at the very first IFM conference and I used to go to your classes all before that. He looked at me, big smile, gave me a hug. Oh, Rita Marie, it's so good to see you again. He said, no, you weren't at the first IFM conference. That one was in Maui. You were at the second one in Palm Springs. And I was like blown away. Right. So then at this event over the weekend, we all presented like what we do and what our passion is, what our mission is. And he came over to me, he says, I love your mission and I'm totally on board with your mission. And I want to help you to get this out to more people. So I showed him our offer. I showed him what we do. And he was just like blown away by what we're doing, not just to give people skills, but to change the medical paradigm. So I'm thrilled to have him. He's one of our advanced clinical resource speakers And he's also, we're going to invite him back to talk to, again to our group. So that's something I'm thrilled about, to get people who are actually out there and have a big reach and a big reputation to be supportive. And, you know, that's going to put a lot of attention on our group, on our school, and on us as a, as like the Ivy League of functional training. So we have the four functional. So getting back to the shine thing. So I'd encourage you, if you haven't already, just go out there and do the deposit. If you're not sure, just reach out. Angelica, is it okay if I give them your email address to reach out to? Yeah, reach out to Angelica, angelica@drritamarie.com, and she'll hook you up and she'll talk to you and, you know, put you in touch with whichever coach she thinks is going to, you know, have the most resonance with where you're at and help you to make a decision, an informed decision, and a decision that comes from head and heart, not just head and not just heart. So I'm just going to tie this all up. Four pillars were the things we looked at. We did this on day three. Some of you may not have been in the room when we did it, and it's all part of our assessments module for those who did join NEPT. But it's really important, if you're going to be doing a functional assessment with people, that you start with questioning them, asking them questions, whether it be through a questionnaire or whether it be through just one-on-one interaction. And you're going to find that a lot of people, it's best with a questionnaire, because it keeps them from telling you all the details of Aunt Molly's, you know, cesarean, and then Aunt Polly's whatever, and divorce, and that it could take like 5 hours to do it if it's just one-on-one. But if you have the written, it's much better. So we teach you detective skills, and it's very important. We need to look at functional physical exam, whether it be to say to them, can you kind of pull your hair back and look behind your ear and look and see if you have one of these creases there? Or let me see your palms. Let me push here. Let me see your blood flow. And we teach you how to do all of that as well. And then the lab tests. And I just showed you the functional lab assessment module. And there's a lot of lab tests. You don't have to do every lab test on every person. And that's what we teach you, that's discerning. Because what bothers me is there are a lot of functional medicine doctors who go from being allopathic into functional. And the way they approach it is, first visit is they talk to you a little bit, and then they order like $1,000 worth of lab tests. And then in a month when they come back, they see you again. And they go through this, and now you have a $500 to $800 list of supplements that you're taking. And they say, eat a gluten-free diet and, you know, try to avoid this and do a food allergy test. And that's how they, you know, and I was like, that's confusing, and it's expensive, super expensive for people. So I teach you how to know what tests to run, how to know what tests to run for each person based on how they're presenting, and then how to interpret those and put them into a plan for them. Not a plan that's $800 worth of supplements. Thank you very much. Yes, there'll probably be supplements involved. And yes, you have to understand when to use supplements and when not. But we also have to look at those other obstacles in balancing those pillars, and how to get them eating better, how to get them eating at the right time, how to get them eating in the right state, not just what they eat, but how they eat and when they eat. And these are all things that you need to be really versed in. And then there are some really cool at-home testing things. There's pH strips, there's the taste tests for minerals, and there's a whole bunch of them. So we don't have time to go through all of them tonight. But you really have to reinforce with people the lab normals versus the functional ranges. Today on a call with my body balance group, one person said, well, I got my test back and my hemoglobin A1C was 5.5. So my doctor said it was fine. It was normal. And I'm like, well, at 5.6, you cross into insulin resistance. And she said, oh, he said like 4.2 to 5.8 was normal. I'm like, yeah, but do you want to be normal or do you want to be ideal? The normal, if you look out there, normal is kind of average. And most people are sick. And most people are on medications. The average person over 60 is on at least 4 or 5 medications already, right? So we don't want to be average or normal, and you don't want that for your clients. So we teach you about functional ranges and give you all kinds of tools for that. You've got to be able to, and we talked about this on Sunday at the event, on that same call, somebody said, oh, my doctor said she did my thyroid testing and I didn't need any further testing because I was normal. My TSH was 4.3. And I'm like, TSH 4.3 is not normal. It's within the average range. You really want it under 3. And what about all these other things? Do you have an autoimmune process attacking? So you need to be able to assess when people come in. They say, oh, I'm on Armour Thyroid or I'm on Synthroid. And it's to be able to help them and look at their labs and know what are their tests their doctors missed and how do they get that? Either by going through Allen Hopkins lab, so that I set up my account there at runmylabs.com, and you guys are welcome to go out there and, you know, reach out to him and set up your own accounts there. Or just use mine if you're not ready to set up your own accounts. But it gives you clout with people like, oh my God, Patty has her own lab account. Wow, how cool is that? And check the rules and regulations in your states for that. But it's really, he has set it up and his team knows how to teach you how to talk to people in such a way that, no, you're not practicing medicine without a license. You're just educating people about how their bodies are working. So anyway, that's a thyroid lab analysis. I shared my vitamin D protocol, and seriously, guys, you've got to be checking people for vitamin D. Don't let them go, oh yeah, my doctor tested me 3 years ago and I was low. My number was in the 20s and he put me on 2000 IUs a day. And where are you now? I don't know. He never went back and tested again, or she never went back and tested again. How much are you taking? Oh, I'm still taking 2000. And I told a story at the event of someone who had, you know, they had done the test at the same time and both of them had single digit vitamin D numbers. And I put both of them on 20,000 and told them to come back in 6 weeks. And the one that came back in 6 weeks, it had already gone up to like 100. And we're like, okay, let's start to taper off and find your ideal dose. And the other one didn't come back for a year and a half and was still on the same dose. And guess what? After a year and a half of 20,000 a day, he was only up to 60. So unless we do that fifth step, right, that reassessment step, we're not going to be able to make headway. It's super important. So this is mine. This is how I do it. And I shared this with you. Baseline test, supplement if indicated, right? If they're in the 75 to 100 range, just monitor it once a year. If they're not, then supplement them and see where they go. If they live in Toronto, right, Mary is online, you know, there's not a lot of sun for many months of the year. If they live at the equator, they got a lot more sun exposure and they can probably get it via sun. And that, those are all the things you're going to assess, right? I retest every 3 months until it's stable for at least a year. Okay, we put them on 20,000. Oh, it got them up to 75. Yeah, we're good. Let's drop it a little bit and see if they can maintain that 75. Oh, they didn't. Let's bump it up again. And you can do this over the course of a year and then do it once a year and just make sure you're testing in winter and summer, you know. So this is really important. And I think because vitamin D is so important for everything. So I just, if you take away one thing from tonight, I want you to take this away. I showed you my lab testing. And I want to reinforce this. We have this thing and it shows what's the lab range and what's the ideal range, right? So on glucose, it's 65 to 110, but the ideal is more 75 to 83, right? And our thing, if you put in a 75, sure enough, it turns green. If I had put in a 52, it's going to turn orange. And if I put in 111, it's going to turn orange. But if I put in a 90, it's going to turn yellow and it's saying warning, right? This person's outside of the optimal range. And this is where you want to work with people when they're outside optimal before they get to pathological. So this is a really important piece. And then we talked about the ketone monitoring and the organic acid test, and we did that on day 3. So I can't go into all the details, but your organic acid is an amazing test. We teach you how to run it and how to analyze it. It gets to give you pathways within the body and what's out of balance functionally. Not how much vitamin A is in your blood or B6 is in your blood, because those things don't really mean as much as what about the functions that rely on vitamin A or B6 or whatever. And how do you detect, oh, that function isn't working right. How can we support that pathway? So, and I specifically had showed ketone testing, but organic acids, we have a whole module on, probably 6-7 hours of case studies to teach you really how to work with that. And we spent a bunch of time at the event on the Dutch test. We don't have time to go through that, but Dutch has a lot of good education. And we have a module on Dutch test. We've probably got, between all the case study calls we've done, you know, we probably have 8 or 10 hours worth of Dutch tests, reviewing Dutch tests, because guess what? There's a lot of stuff in there. Dutch is the urine test for comprehensive hormones, your steroid hormones, your progesterone, your estrogen, your cortisol, DHEA, and how they all interact with each other and what are the metabolites. So we really get an inside picture on what's going on. And it's not like a test that says, if it's high, it means this. If it's low, it means that. It's all the interactions between everything. And that's something that, you know, takes a little while and a lot of practice to get, but it's a super valuable test. The Dutch test, I just showed you this because I like to geek out, and those of you like to geek, but the Dutch test will give you this with each person. And it not only shows like where some of the breakdowns are, but what genes are involved. So like here, you'll see something that says, where's the CYP? Over here, right? Right here, aromatase, CYP19, right? So you get to look at, oh, do they have that gene? Or that, is that why they tend to be having more of this pathway activity? And how can we support it? And if this is like going way over your head right now, it's okay. It won't for those of you who are working with us. And if you go to the Dutch site and you run like dozens of these and you keep calling them and asking them questions and watching their videos, eventually you will get it. But it's an important test because so many people are prescribing hormones to people without seeing this. So many people are running these tests and going, oh, your testosterone's low. Let's give you testosterone. I had this happen with a guy. He had very low testosterone, but he also had high estrogen. Like, okay, what's going on? Well, this pathway right here was working too hard and he was converting his testosterone to estrogen. What do you think would happen if somebody prescribed him testosterone? Do you think he's going to have this great test that shows more testosterone? No. He's going to show more estrogen. So I explained that to him and we worked on some of the cofactors that, you know, in here, we helped him with insulin resistance and some herbs. And we did another test, right? Step 5, retest. And sure enough, the testosterone came up a little bit and the estrogen had come down. We're like, okay, we're on the right track. This might take a year to get this working. And he got impatient and he found a local MD. And the MD said, oh, you need testosterone. Look at those numbers. And she put him on testosterone and he came back into me with his next Dutch test. And yeah, his testosterone was really high. His estrogen was through the roof and the dangerous metabolites of estrogen were really high. And DHT, which is a dangerous metabolite of testosterone, was really high. So here's this guy, just wants his libido back, got impatient, went on testosterone, and now he's got high risk of prostate cancer and a high risk of breast cancer. What 65-year-old man wants a high risk of breast cancer, right? These are the things that when you know, you can caution people. And when you're in the program, you can bring these tests and go, well, I don't know what to do. I've only done this twice. This doesn't look right. Help me. And then we help you, right? This is super important because you can really mess people up with hormones. Bioidentical hormones are great when someone needs them. And when they're done incorrectly, they're wrong. Like remember Dr. Anna said, she said, everybody's thinking all the hot flashes and all that is related to estrogen being low. And everybody's putting people on estrogen. But if you put somebody on estrogen without progesterone, first of all, you're increasing their risk. But she said, when you look at the graph, look here, this drop, this dip relates to how the progesterone dips. So we can be much safer and help people with like an over-the-counter progesterone when we know what's going on in their tests. And Dr. Quebec is really a big fan of this test as well. So I know I'm probably going over time here, but I really just want to finish with you guys. This is an assessment checklist by body system. We talked about digestion, blood sugar, adrenal, thyroid, sex hormones, and the organs in that decreasing importance, right? Not that they're not all important, especially if you're suffering the symptoms, but if you don't fix the digestion, you may never fix the sex hormones. If you don't fix the blood sugar, may never fix the thyroid or the sex hormones. So we work in an order. We help people. We give them symptom relief when needed. But this is a checklist of some of the ways that you can assess by each of these. And we teach you all of this in the assessments module. It's called Functional Assessments Mastery. of the program, of the NEPT program. And for the first time ever, we are offering for people who are not ready to jump in and do all of this is to just do the functional assessments mastery. So if that's something that's of interest to you, these are the modules that we have. We test every single kind of functional test. We do all of the details of the history and the blood testing, your standard blood testing. So you guys are in, you're going to learn how to do this in a very systematic way. And the nutrigenomics is huge. It's so important and so practical because we have like probably dozens of hours of me interpreting people's genetics. And it's so eye-opening and it's so motivational. So I just want to let you know that we have that. And if you want to just join the functional assessments mastery at this point, not ready to jump in head first, functionalassessmentsmastery.com is where you can sign up. We're offering a very special discount for people who are at Shine. We're going to be including in there, you know, there's 19 modules. You get videos, audios, transcripts, handouts, assessments, templates that you can use. You're going to get some done-for-you assessments that you can just take and hand to people. You're going to get 9 months of mentorship calls, whereas in NEPT, you get 24 months. The mentorship calls you get with the assessments are those related to the assessments. You don't get all of the monthly calls that we get in the full program, but you do get the ability to come to case studies and submit your case studies and a general office hours call as well. There's bonus. You get tickets to Shine because we want you to continue your education with us. We do have an upgrade path. So if you join this and then in, you know, 6 months, you decide, I really want the full program, we'll give you full credit towards the full program. If you do it after that, we have a prorated amount that we would give you towards the program because you've already taken, you know, a lot of it and gotten benefit from it. And then finally, as a bonus, because there was so much great information in it, our Shine 3 years ago was on functional assessments, and we're going to give you digital access to that. Whereas people in the whole program get digital access to Shine 2014, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18, and 19, 7. You get all of them. But you'll just get this piece to help to support you on that journey. So if you go to functionalassessmentmastery.com, we've slashed the price pretty much almost in half in order for you to support you on your journey. It will be going back up when we offer this to the public. It will be higher price, and we plan to offer it to the public probably sometime in December. So I just want to make sure that you're aware that it's time sensitive. And if you go there, you can join. If you're not sure and you're not sure if you want to do the whole program or the assessments mastery, go to this link. Where is it? It was way back. Oh, it's this one, the NEPT deposit. Put the deposit down. If you decide you want to do the full program, it'll be honored towards the full program. If you and the coach decide, you know, you're not quite ready for it, that, you know, maybe this is the good place to start, then you can put the deposit towards the other program. So it's either go to drritamarie.com/NEPT deposit or functionalassessmentsmastery.com. Let's see if I can get there quickly. So we're just about at the end. Okay, here we go. So functionalassessmentsmastery.com. Phew, this is basically our system, guys. This is our system. We have a very succinct system. We're going to teach you step by step how to go through. And I really encourage you to look at what you're doing with clients now, if you're seeing them, and see how you can up-level it here. Is Chanda still on the call? Because Shonda, you joined last year, and
I'm still on.
Do you mind sharing with people? I mean, you're an OBGYN. You've done a lot of functional medicine trainings, and last year at Shine, you said, "I want in," right? So, are you willing to share, like, what was your thought process there, and what prompted you to say, "Yeah, I'm all in"?
Well, I've been doing functional medicine. I'm on that course for certification, so I've got a lot on my plate. But I began to embrace the thought processes of a paradigm shift in how I practice medicine in 2006. But in 2011,
I was acquainted with functional medicine. So like you mentioned, they have all the bells and whistles, but there's not a systematic way of support. Mm-hmm. So when I met you some years ago at Dr. Ben Lynch's first conference in 2014. That's when I met you, and you were going away to do a phone call. I'm like, what is this girl doing? But anyway, so I some kind of way got on your mailing list, and so I'm so enthralled about genetics. So when I heard about your genetic course, I'm like, okay, they're local. I need some support. Let me see what's going on. And I love the fact that you engage people on different levels, academic, you know, all different genre of people are attracted to you. And I need a mentor. I need a mentor, and I need to leave the ebbs and flows of conventional medicine. I'm still in the conventional model. I'm still in my office doing my charts. While you've been talking, I've been charting. So it is after, it's 9 o'clock. I'm still doing my paperwork. Yeah. So I still have to deal with the insurances, and that's a pain in the butt. Mm-hmm. So my goal is to get to a point where I'm doing more functional medicine, and I need help. I need guidance along that path. And I felt a significant connection. I need to continue to work with my own modules, but that's what drew me into your tribe.
Thank you. And we're excited to have you here. And I can't wait to get my hands on your stuff and get you like fully into this, because it's really exciting.
Thank you.
To see folks who are, you know, have been conventionally trained and see the limitations of the model from the inside as well, and are saying, you know what, this is the new paradigm. So I appreciate you and having you there and your shining face and bringing your mom to the conference last year and this year. It was great to meet her as well.
Yes, thank you.
Super, super. So why are you here? You know, you heard from Shonda, you heard from a few people. Like, why, what brought you to Shine? What brings you to this medicine, this whole new paradigm of healthcare? I don't even like to call it medicine, really. It's healthcare, true healthcare, right? Because we don't really have a healthcare system. What we have is a disease care system, a sickness management system. I wouldn't even use the word care, because it's like, how do we take people, get them out of pain, and send them on their way? Meanwhile, the fire is burning inside. So we don't really have a true healthcare system. We're part of that. My why is, you know, having lost family members and having big connection to my kids and my family, and wanting not to have other people suffer the way we did. We suffered so badly, and I think it could have all been prevented had there been more of the Western medicine embracing this. So my big why is wanting this out there. What's yours? Keep it in mind. How can we support you with that why? And if you're not sure, reach out. You know, reach out to Angelica. Set up a time to talk to somebody and say, okay, this is where I'm going. How do I do it? If you haven't filled out that form yet, that practice success form, fill it out and let's get on the phone and chat about this and see how we can support you in your mission and your big why. And lest we forget, we all have a verb. We have a verb inside of us. We're about movement. Remember your verb and remember it in everything you do. My verb is empower. And I realize that I do inspire people. Yes, people say, oh yeah, you're so inspiring. But it's more than inspiring, because I'm giving you tools to take your big why and make it a reality. And in my clients, when they're sick, I'm giving them tools and I'm giving them recipes and I'm giving them the support they need to actually make a difference. I'm giving support to family members, right? I had a cousin one time, and this really brought it home. It was my sister's funeral. It was a really sad day. She was 44 years old. She died of lymphoma. She wasn't into this model. Neither were her doctors. And I was going to do the eulogy. My cousin came up to me. Her sister, who was close to us, couldn't be there, and asked for her brother, actually, to read her message that she wanted to give to our family. And my cousin, her younger sister, came up and said, oh, I'm so glad my brother's doing it. How do you do that? How do you get up in front of people? Aren't you scared? Aren't you afraid you're going to fall apart? Aren't you going to get emotional? I said, I will get emotional, and that's okay. I'm in my presence. But my I have to come out of myself, right? I have to be out there for other people. And yeah, I may be scared, but staying scared and holding back is a selfish approach, in my opinion. So I said to her, you could do this. She goes, no, I could never do what you do. And I just kind of did some, you know, power talk with her. And then we went into the church and I'm standing up and I get to the point where my cousin's supposed to come up and read the message from his older sister, who is one of my best friends growing up. And he didn't come up there. She did. Her younger sister showed up and it threw me for a loop. It's like, wait, she said she couldn't do it. And I'm getting goosebumps right now. That short little conversation that we have, I gave her some tools and I empowered her that she got up and she said, I'm going to do it. He bailed and it needs to get done and I'm going to do it. And she did it. I said, I'm here for you. She goes, I may not make it all the way to the end. I said, that's okay. I'm here. And I just stood there next to her, put my arm around her. She read the message from her sister. It was beautiful. She couldn't make it quite to the end because she was teary. I took it. We both cried. I finished it and I hugged her. And I realized this is what I do, right? I empower people to be their best. I empower people to say no. Don't take no for an answer. Don't listen to that little voice inside of you that's telling you to play small. Listen to that voice that's telling you that you are here to play big. And let's get out there and let's play big together. Let's play big together because I think that your verb is your verb, whatever it is. Nutritional endocrinology is the healthcare system of the future for all the reasons I explained at Shine. Master controller, we need to be out there enabling it. And the only way that you're going to get there is, I think I have these slides out of order, so let me do it this way. You got to jump out of the bowl. You got to be willing to say, I'm going to take a stand for something different and then change your color and swim in the opposite direction, right? We've got to do this. We have to be the big fish in the little pond, and that pond is going to get bigger and bigger. And don't be afraid to leave that behind. Not that to say that you leave it behind and go solo and don't have a support system. That's why we've created a support system for you. So, and are you really ever ready? For those of you who've been thinking for years that you want to step out and teach what you've learned to other people and empower other people, are you really ever ready? Are we all juggling like all these different things, right? Are we really ever going to say, oh my God, this is the perfect time. I have all this free space in my calendar. Now I'm going to do it. No, those of us who've stepped out have said, yeah, my plate's busy. And yeah, it's not the perfect time, but it is the perfect time because the perfect time is now. And the minute you get started stepping out there, like I said, whether it's with us, whether it's with some other group, on your own is going to be tough. So I encourage you to have a mentor and I encourage you to have a system and I encourage you to join with a tribe that has your back every single moment, whether you feel ready or whether you feel scared. Okay, we're going to help you expand that comfort zone. So you'll find yourself doing stuff a year from now. And I'm going to look at Lynn Rose, for example, when I first said to her, hey, I want you to get out there and do this presentation for the group on homeopathy. And she's like, you know, I'm going to do it, right? She stepped out there. Was she scared? Were you scared when you did that? Were you a little nervous?
Not really nervous. I just don't like to hear myself.
You just don't like to hear yourself. But you did it anyway because your message is so valuable that we all needed to hear it. And what is it that's in you that's not getting out to other people who are going to benefit from it, right? So that's all I have for you. We're here to get to the root cause. And you have the power to do it. We'd love to support you in it. We've already supported you a lot just by what we shared at Shine. And if you're not sure, reach out. Angelica will hook you up. If there was somebody you spoke to at the event that you want to speak to again to go deeper, Angelica will hook you up. Anybody else have anything to say? Kimberly, do you have anything that you want to add to what I said? I know I said a lot and I've got to shut up now.
Oh, I'm just so proud to be on the mission. I was the one that said this is an Ivy League school and I really want people to know about this school. And the more people we have coming through this curriculum, the faster we're going to change the world. So it has changed my practice immensely. I would not be where I'm at without it. Some of it was because of Laura's work and the need for me to feel safe in being seen. You can't grow a practice if you're not willing to be seen. And so that work was really significant for me. I'm thrilled that that's part of the curriculum now.
I could not be at this point. After seeing your transformation, Lynn's, all the people that have gone through it, seeing that transformation, I think it's just a critical part of us stepping into our power and feel the fear and do it anyway. One of our coaches said, as we talked to her, as you talked to her, she said, do it afraid, right? Because if there's things you're doing and you're not a little bit nervous and a little bit scared, you're not playing big enough. I used to make that analogy when I was skiing. I used to do a lot of downhill skiing and I loved it. They said, if I'm not falling a few times a day, I'm not pushing myself. I'm not playing hard enough, right? And we need to be doing things and be willing to fall, have the community pick you up and support you.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the other thing. The other piece there is you're just not going to find a community like this anywhere. And I'm excited for it to grow.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody have anything to share? Anything that came up for you? Any, you know, fears or apprehensions or questions that came up to you as we went through this? Nothing? Who is that?
It's Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Hi. Sorry, I had my hand up. I wasn't sure whether I should raise it. I actually wanted to just comment something that really struck me throughout the whole Shine and what you talk about. You talk about it quite often as well, is the whole idea of reassessing. Mm-hmm. And I've been finding, and I've seen a lot of practitioner giving what I've been challenged with over the last year or so. And I'm going to have to tell you, that not one practitioner has said to me, let's reassess. Mm-hmm. I've had to be the one to say, hey, can we reassess? Yeah. And especially with the medical model, I mean, my medical IGP, I mean, I get challenged when I say, okay, I have low vitamin D. It's evident. Can we reassess maybe like every couple months? Because I'm, you know, doing, you know, I'm taking, you know, so much, you know, vitamin D, I'm upping it, I'm changing it, I'm doing whatever. How do I know what my amount is going to be if I don't reassess on a regular basis? And I have to like struggle and pull teeth.
Yeah.
On and on and on. Now I've done the Dutch test, I think it was 2017. So I kept on saying, Kate, should I redo it? I did it in 2017. We've done some things. Is it time? Blah, blah, blah. And it's always been, okay, well, let's wait. Let's wait. Let's wait. Let's wait. And now I'm going through sort of like a heavy metal detox because I'm working with Dr. Mindy. You might kind of already met her at one of the events you guys shared. So, you know, we are going to eventually do the Dutch test. She wants to do it after. But I feel like I'm always the one saying it.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what is wrong with everybody? I don't understand.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. And that's the problem I've run into as I look at people who have been to practitioner after practitioner and thinking, well, they did this test and that test, but they never went back to see if it worked. Personally, on a Dutch test, I think you shouldn't go more than 3-4 months. Without doing it again, if there's stuff that was found that you're working on. Like, okay, if there's stuff that was found and you kind of delay 3 months to work on it, it's not worth doing it again, right? But if you get started on addressing those things, 4 months at the most, because we're shifting, hormones shift quickly, and it can shift into a dangerous level, especially if you're doing things to promote either bioidenticals that are actual hormones or doing things to promote your body to make more of hormones. So it's really important, I think, an organic acid test, the same thing. We're doing things to shift the biochemistry. We don't want to keep doing it beyond its expiration date, right? Mm-hmm. We may be taking too much of something and throwing something else off, right?
Right.
So I agree with you. And I think that's why I make a big stand for this. I think it's so important. That's why it's one of those steps, the reassess. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Now, I know like something like the Dutch test, it is rather expensive. So I don't know if it's, you know, if it's just, health professionals are saying, okay, we know it's expensive. We don't want to do it on a regular basis because it'd be, you know, a lot of money out of their pocket. I don't know what the rationale is, or if it's just that they're not being so detailed about it. I don't know. But even that, when I did my Dutch test, I mean, I still didn't get enough follow-up. I'm still in 2017, and the issues with the estrogen, it still is just being addressed right now.
Yeah, and with your history, that's not a safe thing to do. You've got to be addressing that, right? And there are ways to do partial Dutch, right? If the adrenals look fine and you just want to reassess the sex hormones or vice versa, right, you can do partial parts of it and then go back and do a full one at a later date. But it's the knowing, right? It's that's having the knowledge and the skill to know when to reassess people and not be afraid to say to them, I know it's going to cost some, but the cost of inaction is higher than the cost of action. The cost of not doing that test could cost you, you know, a hormone imbalance that puts you at risk for cancer or worse, right? Or embolism or whatever. And so we have to put the people's things first. With functional medicine docs, a lot of them are just like throwing a whole bunch of tests out at the beginning rather than, you know, okay, first we're going to address this. Oh, look at these lifestyle habits. Let's get the lifestyle habits there. I know you already have really good lifestyle habits. So for you, it's okay, let's look at these tests and let's see what's out of balance. Let's change things and let's reassess to see if it's working.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I think it's super important. And I think it's important as practitioners that we know those things, that we understand those things, you know? Shonda is a OBGYN. She's dealing with women's hormones all the time, right? You know, if she was starting to prescribe hormones to women just because they have hot flashes, or just does a blood test and then prescribes hormones because the estrogen's low, but she doesn't look at the metabolites, she may be pushing them towards an imbalance that leads them to breast cancer risk. So we've really got to look at this from a perspective of safety first. What did Hippocrates say? First, do no harm. And the more you understand how this is working and the implications of your actions and your suggestions, you're not going to do harm, right? Not deliberately. But if you work in the dark, there's a lot of harm that can be done. Yeah. Thank you. Anybody else have anything they want to share? So yeah, Donna. Oops. There you go.
So you said in the beginning time, like, if there was any questions, a question I had that,
Tom O'Brien?
Yeah, Tom O'Brien said, and it was about how his particular kind of enzymes work better because it lasts longer, so that like other enzymes that you take, by the time it starts working, it's already past the small intestine. So it's not really addressing the issue of what the enzymes really need to be doing. And so my question for myself is, like, whenever I eat raw food, whether it's a raw food smoothie or, you know, a salad, you know, lots of raw food, I'm hurting like crazy. And so my question, and I don't know if you can answer this, but if I started taking his enzymes, would that help me not to be hurting so much when I eat raw food?
I don't think so. And let me tell you why. I think the reason you're hurting is because your lining is injured, right?
Because
your esophagus and your stomach are injured, right? And so eating raw food, you probably need to, a couple of things, right? You're not going to want to hear one of these things, but I oftentimes put people who have that kind of disruption on a completely non-raw diet, like juices you could do because there's no fiber, but that without that fiber for about 30 days and blending things as much as possible. But the things that don't have that rough cellulose fiber, but then there's things to repair. The DGL, the slippery elm, the plantain, the mushy stuff that your palate doesn't really care for, but that could be helpful. DGL lozenges might be good if you can, you know, so you can swallow it and it's not all gooey and it helps to, you know, to release. I know you've tried slippery elm and you just like,
yeah.
And here's the thing, like when people are like have this aversion to something because of, you know, taste buds and whatnot, sometimes you can just ease into it slowly. Like, okay, drinking an 8-ounce glass of slippery elm tea may be like, oh my God. But what if you just sipped a little tiny bit and then an hour later, you sipped a tiny bit more, and a little later, and you didn't have to drink the whole thing down. Mm-hmm. That little bit, and over time and increasing it, can help to repair the lining. And that's the piece that none of the medical approaches do. They give you PPIs, lower your stomach acid. And sure, that hurts less when you lower the stomach acid, but it doesn't heal the lining. And so you're just left perpetually having to lower the stomach acid, which then makes you less able to digest your protein, which makes you less able to digest your minerals. And then you end up with these imbalances. So that's my recommendation, is to, when somebody really has that aversion, and you very well speak to it because of yourself, just go with the tiny bit, right? You know, you can tolerate a little tiny sip, right? Mm-hmm. Not going to make you gag, but if you have to drink the whole 8 ounce glass, mm-hmm. right? But just a little, like you did with your son, you mentioned this on mm-hmm. the other day, right? A little mm-hmm. bit of green and a little bit more green. And the next thing mm-hmm. you know, you had a whole bunch of green, mm-hmm. you know, or putting it in one of your smoothies a little bit. Right? Just put a little bit of slippery.
Would that do the same thing?
Not as effectively, but it's definitely mm-hmm. going to help because it's in there. Right? And just get yourself to the point where you're used to some of that, the gooey mucilaginous stuff. Right? Yeah. Okay. So there's two ways for you to approach it. Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. All right. Anybody else before we go? FunctionalAssessmentMastery.com if you're interested in just the assessments. But I will let you know that if you're not already, like if you're just starting out, that's not a good place for you to go, because it assumes that you have some basic knowledge of the anatomy physiology of these pieces. So that's a really great place if you're, you know, a nurse practitioner or a medical doctor and you just want to get your feet wet into functional, that's a good place to start. But for the rest of you, reach out and go to the, put that link in the chat, please, Angelica. It's the whatever, drreedemarie.com/NEPT deposit. I think it is.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Just a really quick one. So I'm assuming if one wanted to take, say, a holistic nutrition course, could one bypass that and just jump right into taking your program, or do we need to have a basic, because I'm seeing, you know, there's an OBGYN person there and there's nurses, this and that, and they already have science background. Well, what if you don't have any of that, like very strongly, maybe you have basic, yes. like myself, for instance.
You are not basic, girl. All right. You have had enough ERC experience, enough experience in our programs. You come to all the calls, you're asking questions, but like Donna is, yes. She's smart. She has the aptitude. She's been in our programs for years and she has a lot of the basics. And now she's going, okay, I want to take this deeper. So it'd be perfect for somebody like you.
The reason I say that is because I guess I'm stuck on, I don't have a biochemistry background. I didn't major in sciences. I'm like, how lost am I going to be when I'm going into the depth of some of these modules and become frustrated? Do you know what I mean? Like I was planning on taking holistic nutrition. So I was taking I took two courses, and with life going on, I couldn't continue. So this is like, you know, 7 years later here, 10 years later, whatever it is. And so I decided, okay, this year I'm going to sit in one. And I didn't like the instructor, first of all. He was kind of all over the place. And because I was on a retreat, I missed 2 days. So that kind of set me back. And then I thought, I came back to a test. Like, it was just so not, I wasn't interested. Even though I like sitting in a classroom,
yeah,
preferably than online, I was like, just like, he was, you know, doing these diagrams about the carbohydrates and this and that. And that, and he wrote scribble scratch. So I couldn't understand his writing. And I thought, this is not motivating. And thank God I was just auditing at first. And I thought, okay, I've already missed class. I missed a test. I'm not comfortable with getting, you know, he was allowing me to write the test on a different day, but that the maximum I would get was 70%, which I'm not happy with that. What, I get a 90 and I'm going to just get a 70, even though I got a 90 for setting it. Like, so I said, you know, maybe I'll take it at a later date. And then I thought, of course, then you're, you know, this information came at kind of the right time. And I'm like, I'm wondering if I really need to get, because in my mind, I think I'm fixated on, I need to get the basics first, or I go and take Dr. Rita Marie's, you know,
we go practitioner. Through basics as a review. People that have been to medical school go, wow, I learned that in medical school, but boy, this was a much better approach to it because it was practical and I knew what I could do with it. I would say, you know, if I didn't know you so well, I'd say, let's have a conversation and we'll figure it out. Cause not everybody is at that level, but you are the most inquisitive person. You know, you're digging deep. You're asking questions. You probably at this point, when you learn how to read your own Dutch test, you'll be thrilled. You know what I mean? Ideally for you. If you found that, you know, what I kept saying, you can, I love the ERC modules and I want to go deeper with them and I want to go more. It's just like that, but then compounded. So we start out light and then we dig. And the thing about it is that's different than taking it in a classroom setting. First of all, there's no scribble scratch. It's all slides and you can watch it over and over and you can read the transcripts and you can come to the calls and ask questions. And you can ask practical questions about how this applies to this particular person or yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's practical. So we've had people come through who are, you know, way out there. We have some naturopaths in the program and acupuncturists. We have some people who have come from psychology, which there's not a lot of deep science there. We've had people who were accountants that have come through the program. So we assess, and a lot of times if somebody isn't ready to do the program, we ask them to go through all of our programs for clients, which you've already done.
Mm-hmm.
And right. That would be their basic. I've had people tell me that they've gone to IIN and they've gone through our programs, like our digestion, adrenal, et cetera, and learned more in our programs than they did in the whole year at IIN.
Mm-hmm.
Right, from a practical standpoint. So if you want to talk more about it, feel free, reach out to me, reach out to Lynn. You know, I know, you know us the best of all the coaches here. And, you know, we'll help you go for it. I know you talked about it before. So no, you don't need to do anything as a you don't. There may be other people that I would recommend do something as a prereq.
Also, I think, is it Angelica that did her, did what, day three or whatever, and she introduced you? Was that Angelica that did that?
There were a bunch of people introduced me on different days.
So. I was on Saturday.
It was on Saturday. Was
it, I think it was Angelica with your story. That was, thank you. I'm glad you shared that. I think that was, it struck a chord with me. So it was great.
I'm glad. It came from the heart. It's all true.
I knew. I could tell. I could tell. So it was lovely. It was very wonderful. So, and Dr. Rita Rumi, you hit all the, I don't know how to put it, all those reasons why you say no. Oh, you know, I'm too old. Well, you gave an example of a 70-year-old who went through your program. Oh, you know, I don't have this or I don't have that. And I was like, she's hit all my weaknesses or my sore spots where I'm like, I'm getting up there in age. Do I really want to start all over again? You know, all this kind of stuff.
You're a spring chicken in our program. Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is that you can do it at your own pace. You don't have to show up at the classroom at this certain time. You can watch all the replays. You can watch them over and over and over again. You can bring your own labs. You can bring your friends' labs, your clients' labs. And we all learn from reading each other's labs. I know there are programs out there that say you only can bring client programs. So what about the people who don't have clients yet? Like,
but this is it. Exactly.
That's crazy. I think you're going to learn better if you bring your own lab. And then I say, well, what about this? You know the answer. You don't have to say, well, I'll go ask her and I'll come back in 2 weeks and give you the answer. You know, that's the piece. Yeah.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So Great. If you want to talk to one of us, just reach out. You know how to get us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Were you in the very first ERC program?
I think I was. Yeah.
I think you've been around a while. Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Anybody else before we go? Does anybody else want to share anything empowering to each other? I know we're getting late. There's still 16 of you left. So it's dwindled down a lot and it's time for us to like honor the bedtime, right? Honor the self-care and really sit with this. If any of this struck a chord and you want to reach out and you said, oh, I wish I would have done it at the event, reach out. You know, fill out the thing and put your deposit down and we'll figure out what the best program is or email Angelica and she'll set you up to talk to whoever is the best match for you to talk to and talk this through. It's a big decision. I remember when I was in the computer field. I knew nothing about health other than figuring my own health out. And then I figured my own health out because I have a logical computer-oriented brain. And I said, I need to leave my job. I was back in 1985 when I decided to leave. Yeah, so I actually left in the spring of 1986. But in 85, I took some anatomy and physiology classes at our local junior college. And it was like, oh my God, why didn't I do this when I was an undergraduate? I already had a master's in computer. I already had a great job. And I left my job. I was making $55,000 a year back in 1986. That was massive money. Massive. It still is a good salary, but that was massive money back then. And I said, I need to do this. My only choice was to quit my job and go to school full time. I had to do pre-med, and then I had to do, you know, so I had a whole lot of stuff to do. I actually did organic chemistry in the summer in two four-week semesters. So in 8 weeks, I did a year of organic chemistry, which was everybody's hardest course in pre-med. And I aced it because I loved it, right? And I'm like, okay, I think this is for me. And so I quit my job and I went back to school, and it took me a long time. I say between my lost income and my tuition cost me like over $250,000 to do it. We're offering you the opportunity to do it for a tiny fraction of that without having to quit your job, fitting it into your schedule and coming out with practical information. I didn't come out with done for you protocols. I didn't come out with assessments I could use right away. I had to figure this all out on my own. So taking all my computer knowledge and my step-by-step, this is how you do stuff. So I encourage you, if you're feeling called, just to let us know and we'll help you out. I'd love to help you out. So I'm going to call it a night, unless there's any other burning questions. I'm going to unmute everybody. And I want us on the count of three to just, with all your gusto, give everybody a big cheer and say goodnight. Can we all do that? Okay. One, two, three.
Good night.
We're rocking it. We're changing lives. We're changing the face of healthcare. So many blessings, much love. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.